Vigen Guroian is an Armenian Orthodox theologian who experiences Easter as a call to our senses. He is passionate about the meaning of grand ideas like incarnation, death, and eternity as revealed in life and in his garden. A professor of religious studies at the University of Virginia, he also tends a large perennial and vegetable garden at his home in Central Virginia. This hour, we take in the religious discoveries he makes there.
Look, when I get into the garden in the spring and I'm getting ready for it here, it comes pretty early in Central Virginia. What am I doing? During Lent in particular, I'm digging out weeds that have died. I'm cleaning out the garden. It's a messy business, and it's not terribly pleasant. But in the task of the very doing it, my senses are being brought alive. I'm attuning my body. I'm cleansing my soul. I'm making myself ready to receive the gift.
From APM, American Public Media, I'm Krista Tippett. Today on Being, Restoring the Senses. Differences over calculating the date of Easter were among the disputes that led to the 11th century schism between the ancient church centers of Constantinople and Rome. But there are many elemental differences between the Orthodox spiritual sensibility and that which spread throughout the West from Rome. The Romans built roads, one adage goes, while the Greeks built metaphysical systems. Eastern Orthodox theology is experiential, sacramental. Its liturgies engage all the senses with incense, icons, and lush hymnody. Ancient rituals are understood in themselves to convey biblical truths and transcendent realities. Vigen Guroian's Armenian Orthodox tradition is one of the most ancient traditions in this Orthodox realm of 300 million Christians in the world today. In common with many Western Christians, they observe the penitential season of Lent, and in the Holy Week preceding Easter, they commemorate the biblical events leading to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But when I spoke with Vigen Guroian in 2007, he began to explain how his tradition also understands these events mystically. The Bible refers to Jesus ushering in a new creation. And Armenian Orthodox worship ritually places Easter in the great cosmic drama from the creation of the world to eternity and back again.
In my own tradition, for example, the first Sunday would be an observance of the beginnings, creation. And in a sense, through the whole of Lent, you recapitulate the story of creation, fall, and redemption. These are circles inside of circles, repetitions inside of repetitions. For example, in the Armenian liturgical calendar, there's a kind of eight-day cycle.
Eight-day cycle.
Yes. Well, the eighth day is the day of the new creation. Every Sunday is not only the first day, but it's also the eighth day. We break out of the temporal week, 7 days, and break into the new creation, which is on the eighth day, which is the day of the resurrection.
And what does that mean? I mean, is that a state of mind? It's a way you move through time differently?
Absolutely, that's the way I move through time. So the beginning and the end are connected with one another, but it's not simply intellectual, it's bodily. I mean, when we're within the liturgical service, it is happening. And that experience is going to form a way of seeing the world and going through the world.
Walking back out into the world, out of that sanctuary. Out of that liturgy.
Yeah.
And this is so foreign, right, to the way Christianity has infused American culture. It's a different way of being Christian.
Of course it is. For example, I'm not particularly interested in conflating, correlating a reading of the Genesis account of creation with the latest scientific theory. I think of the first chapter of Genesis as a divine litany. Something is happening, and then God says, as a respondent, he takes both the role of liturgist and respondent. Hmm. He says, "This is good." or this is beautiful. Actually, the Hebrew word tob could mean either good or beautiful, and the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which was the Old Testament of the early church, mm-hmm. translates it beautiful in the Greek, not good.
So God saw what he had made, those passages, and as it's usually
translated. God
says,
this is beautiful. That's the response.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, God is singing creation into existence. I think C.S. Lewis caught this, had his own deep sense of this when he wrote The Magician's Nephew, in which Aslan, the great lion, the great god lion, sings the creation of Narnia, brings Narnia into existence in hymn, in song. It just seems to me that that way of understanding creation is different.
Mm-hmm. Is different and simply would...
It means that that the song never ends, mm-hmm. and words have been added to the song, but it's still the song. And think about throughout the Old Testament, from Genesis through the prophets, the creation itself is really depicted as a great temple in which worship is to be done. God sets the foundations. God stretches the heavens as a canopy. And we're here to make the song of creation, the liturgy of creation and new creation, manifest, visible, audible in the world.
I'd like for you to talk to me about, you know, some of these huge ideas that in fact happen for you in worship.
Well, if you begin to look at the Orthodox liturgies, the hymns and prayers correlate with the images that are in the church, mm-hmm. the iconography that's in the church. Now, I must say that in my own tradition, the iconography can be rather sparse. We don't have an iconostasis in the Armenian church the way the Byzantines, the Greeks, the Russians, the Romanians, etc. do.
And translate
at the front
that
of the altar.
For someone who hasn't heard of iconostasis.
In most of Orthodoxy, you have a screen or a wall that stands in front of the altar, which is in the back of that screen, and you can see through a door. Sometimes you can see through. It's partly transparent. It depends on the way this has been built, but you have an image of Christ. You're going to have an image of the Holy Mother of God, John the Baptist, an image of the saint whose name is given to this church. You're going to have other saints, even scenes from the Bible. We don't have a resurrection icon where Jesus is emerging from the tomb sort of flying in the air, because there's no description of that scripturally. What we have are two icons. One is the icon of Christ's descent into